Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. All I'm telling you is we've got so much to cover, so little time, ladies and gentlemen. It is just crazy. This is the broadcast for October the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two with a goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so in the traditions of our family, founding fathers. Yes, indeed, the blueprint for liberty makes sense for America, folks. It always has and always will. Why attack the plan? You got the whacked out folks that want to go ahead and have a con or a convention of states. They just keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. They're well-funded, ladies and gentlemen. They couldn't be more wrong on the topic. We don't need to revisit the Constitution and try to rewrite a better mousetrap. What we need to do is apply the one we've got. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Dr. Scott Bradley's in the house, and he's with me now. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, I am grateful to be here, as always, Sam, and it's good to hear your voice and speak a few words on behalf of the cause of liberty. You know, there's so many things. You brought up the con immediately, but, here's one thing that we might not just – I'll just toss it out and see if it's interesting to you. The 24th of October today marks the anniversary of the entry into the United Nations Charter back in 1945, a charter that is basically planned tyranny. It has been, when I was a kid, honestly, and I don't want to get distracted from your plan today, but holy Hannah, when I was a kid, we got these things called weekly readers. To add insult to injury, the parents were browbeat into buying this little scurrilous rag every week, and they handed them out, and it was kind of a respite from some of the arduous tasks of doing math and stuff like that when I was a kid. But, they were just it was a paid political announcement for the United Nations and what wonderful they were, the last great hope and yada, yada, yada. My generation was immersed in this, and the United Nations continues their drag on liberty. And, there's another topic. But at any rate, they have received a lot of accolades from a lot of institutions and they get a lot of trumpet blowing and everything like that. But their charter really literally is a charter of war. It's something that's pulling this nation down as fast as they can. And certainly all over the world they have done it, this globalist perspective. And I don't know, I couldn't let this introductory thing go without mentioning that it is the anniversary in 1945 of when their charter went into force. And holy cow, we have fallen forward. Because of them, I don't know as we've ever had a day of peace in my lifetime. You know, I'm in my 70s, and it's definitely not a charter of peace. It's a charter of war. Regional arrangements, regional military arrangements, little regional economic arrangements, arrangements that say that they have sovereignty over other nations in spite of the fact that we know that that's not the case in our nation for sure. And I'm just so disheartened that we continue to foster the drivel that they've been feeding my entire life. You'd think I would be fully immersed and enthusiastic about it based upon the way they've tried to spray me down with their inoculation against freedom, but holy cow, bad, bad, bad. Anyway, Sam, I'm sorry to distract you. We can go back to the con if you want. Always a favorite topic to try and debunk. We can talk about all sorts of crazy things, but what's on your mind today, my man?
Well, let's talk a little bit more about this, United Nations deal, right?
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk more about it, and let's just kind of give people kind of the summary of the history first, Doctor.
Well, it's a tawdry history, honestly. And to do so, I could go back a lot further than this, but we need to go back to World War One. World War One, Woodrow Wilson and his cronies, like the Dulles brothers and so on, that went to Europe with the idea of putting together a 14-point plan for the treaty to end World War One. And they wrote into the Versailles Treaty, which was one of the most disastrous treaties in all of history. It led absolutely, unequivocally, without any doubt, to World War II. They wove into that Versailles Treaty, which needed to be ratified here in the United States, according to our Constitution. But they wove into there the League of Nations, which was the charter for a world government. And there were a handful of American senators that said over our dead bodies, we're not going to do this. And they were called the Incorrigibles. And they said, nope, we're not going to do this. And, oh, man. So the United States was the kingpin, as it always is. If they can make the United States fall, the whole nation is going to just, you know, tumble. Woodrow Wilson ended up having a meltdown, a stroke or something like that, went catatonic. His wife ran the country for a while and didn't tell anybody. But a guy by the name of Edward Mandel.
Hold on. House, by the way, that is absolutely criminally unconstitutional, I might add.
There's no question about it. But Edward Mandel House and some of his cronies, the rich and famous of the day, started an organization called the Council on Foreign Relations, which has become a de facto administrative body of the United States government. And everybody since Hoover has immersed their administration, including Donald Trump's, in the Council on Foreign Relations as their kingpins in administering this country. It's a globalist-focused organization. It's supposed to educate the United States into a global government, and they use the powerful, influential heads of different large corporations and government agencies and so on to foster this constantly. So the Council on Foreign Relations has been working since like 100 years ago and trying to drag this nation down. Well, World War II had to be brought about with all of the isms of the 20s and 30s, including the isms that FDR implemented here. And so here we are now. You're saying, where did this come from? Well, fairly early in World War II, they started calling the Allies the United Nations. And there was an effort made to foster a charter that they claimed would prevent future conflagrations like World War II. And so they were blowing on these embers to get a bonfire going about the United Nations. And so they were writing this charter all along, and they put two communists at the head of it. One of them was a Soviet communist, and the other one was an American communist named Alger Hiss, to sit as the chair as this thing was brought together in San Francisco in 1945. Again, they'd been using the term United Nations to kind of build on the movement of it and everything. So at any rate, if you have not read the United Nations Charter, you need to. You need to read it with your eyes open. On the surface, you might say, well, it looks like a United States Constitution in a sense, but nothing could be further from the truth. The United States Constitution is absolutely a limited government with checks and balances, separation of powers, all those things we talk about so much on your program. But the United Nations takes the perspective governments can do anything they want because they have the power. And so it really is an undertow. And now this guy named Truman that was sitting as president, another imposter, but at any rate, when this thing happened in Korea, and just very fortuitously, the Russians were boycotting the Security Council at the time. So the Security Council said, the United Nations is going to come in against North Korea. Well, Truman said, I don't need a declaration of war. No, we don't need that. The treaty says that the United Nations treaty says if a war happens and the United Nations says stand tall and go to war, we've got to do it. Now, that's a flat-out dastardly lie. But anyway, we did that.
Hold on. Not only is it a flat-out dastardly lie, I submit to you that it's treason.
It is.
We're
going
to claim war and to mandate war and to pretend there's authorization for war when none of those things are true is literally treasonous.
There's no question.
To the whole country, sir. Let's be very clear. Treason has a very limited definition or very narrow definition. It's not even debatable. This qualifies, right?
Well, I believe it does, and it certainly qualifies for excommunication, if you will, from the presidency through the process that we can bring impeachment and remove from office, because the president violated his oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and then he was supposed to carry out the laws carefully and so on. Well, it didn't end with Truman. I mean, Eisenhower came on the scene. He spent his whole 8 years, I mean, I am not kidding one bit, with his Secretary of State, John Foster Dulles, who was one of the Dulles brothers that was involved in 1916 on with trying to blow on the embers and bring about a world government. His brother, by the way, Alan Dulles, was the head of the CIA. So here we have these globalists in Eisenhower's administration working on bringing about a global government. Eisenhower spent his 8 years trying to convince the nation that if the treaty said, any treaty, doesn't mean the United Nations only, NATO treaty, was enforced by then, 1949. Any treaty that said we go to war if that's in complete abandonment of the Constitution, he tried to convince the nation that any of these globalist treaties took precedence over the Constitution. In fact, there was a guy by the name of Bricker. He was a senator. I believe he's from Ohio. He spent 8 years of Eisenhower's administration trying to get a Bricker amendment put through that would clarify that and make sure it didn't happen. And Eisenhower fought that.
Sounds hang like tight. We've got more on this, ladies and gentlemen, as the broadcast unfolds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use radio station.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So here's the headline I wrote for this thing. Criminal unconstitutional activity continues 77 years later. It was on the 24th of October, 1945, when the UN Charter was first implemented. It had signatories from the majority of the, quote, member countries, including the, quote, five permanent Security Council members. The agreement reached between these countries is what really led to the beginning of, or the establishment of, the United Nations. But the focus I want to highlight on is, look, this criminal activity, this unconstitutional criminal activity, ladies and gentlemen, has literally been going on for 77 long years. And no one really is speaking out much about it. You don't hear the Republicans talking about it. It's not a campaign issue. It's not something they've stood against or boldly declared criminal activity, as I am. But look, this violates the sovereignty of America. It violates the Constitution for the United States of America. look, some charter out there that we agreed to has no effect in law when compared to the supreme law. It should be null and void. Okay, this criminal activity has been literally going on for 77 years. We lied. We pretend that we have to be the peacekeepers of the world. We're in perpetual wars ever since. There's no good that has come from this thing, from not only the manipulation into war in the name of peace, but to abusing the family, the core of real societal norms. The fundamental unit of society is violated and encroached on by this, quote, dishonest, immoral, criminal charter. Have I spoken too harshly? Have I misstepped or misclaimed here, Doctor?
No. In fact, I wonder why you're being so kind to them. I mean, honestly, this charter, we could not speak more powerfully against. And you cannot overstep it, I don't believe. I believe that every step of the way, I mean, we could take and we could peel the onion, if you will, or deconstruct this thing every step of the way. It believes that abortion is a right and wants to protect it. Their vaccination programs have been egregious across the world. Their efforts, if they will, to provide food and nutrition and so on, are actually assisting the move towards starvation and destruction. And we could take it every step of the way. They have let's just take the children issue. UNICEF, they've recently removed it. I can't find it anymore on their website. And so because there's probably been a such.
Yeah, so hold on. So they have it up. They promote it as something like something that they're proud of until we call halt to the con game and tell the truth and put it in proper historical perspective. Then they take it down and they're afraid of their own shadow. That's how they play the dishonest game, folks.
It is. They have promoted in UNICEF. This is the group that's supposed to look out for children. The idea of age-appropriate pornography. Pornography, kids. That pornography destroys true love. It destroys family togetherness. It destroys a healthy relationship between men and women, and now between all sorts of crazy things. Anyway, if not fit for consumption on a family program. And they were promoting age-appropriate pornography. Tell me what that is. It's just impossible. And then they do these vaccines, and their vaccine programs all over the world have, I think it's arguable that they have spread further disease by so doing. They participate in vaccinations that actually literally have increased polio within the world. Individuals, organizations that contribute to these things. Let's talk about food for a second, just for a second. Law of supply and demand. Let's say they say, oh, we need gobs of money to go help these people that are starving to death. And so gobs of money is raised, and they're sent, and most of it probably doesn't reach down to where it should be.
Most of it goes to building the military hardware and military industrial complexes of those dictatorships around the world. It never gets to the people who truly need it.
Yeah, they go to tin horn dictatorships, whatever. But here's the deal. Let's say they're actually delivering boxes of food to the end consumer. Okay, so in your, let's say, Somalia or East Africa or somewhere West Africa, I don't care, you pick a place. And in that place, the boxes of food are being delivered to people that are hungry. Well, there's farmers in that area. And so you have shut down their market for being able to exchange with their fellow citizens. So what happens? The farmers go broke, or they go out of business, or they only grow groceries in the future for their family because there has been an external object of intervention that's happened there. And the people, and maybe the farmers even go on the dole. So they're down there standing in line waiting for the boxes of food to come in. But we've destroyed the production of food at the most basic level. And now those farmers are either starving to death, have no markets, they can't market their, I don't know, whatever it is, from coffee beans to wheat, I don't know, to carrots and other groceries. But this effort to feed by a welfare state, if you will, administered by a globalist government, ends up further destroying and undermining. Back years and years ago, this is many decades ago, in the 60s, a good friend of mine and his family lived in Ethiopia, a breadbasket of Africa, truly, a verdant land, a beautiful land. And And his stories about it are absolutely captivating in terms of how wonderful it was there. And what happens was the Marxist socialist regimes took over in Ethiopia. Now it's a desert. It's a wind-blown starvation center for people, where before it was the people worked together and they got their community going. Anyway, this thing about the United Nations has been a disaster. Oh, by the way, I might mention, you know, I do talk fast, I know, but if people are taking notes, they're going to have to keep up. back in, you know, I told you about the Eisenhower efforts to get the nation to be deceived into belief that an international agreement took precedence over the Constitution. And we could discuss that and deconstruct that at great length if you wanted to. But the fact of the matter is, there was a decision, one of the few good decisions made by the Warren Court in 1957. It was the Reed v. Covert decision. I wished we could take time to read every word of it. You'd be cheering all the way through. What it was an international agreement. It was an executive agreement between the president and England about how something might be handled. And so the court actually ultimately ruled on it after first ruling wrong. And the court deconstructed beautifully the idea that had been fostered that an international agreement could override the Constitution. But they went further than what the case originally went. Originally, as I say, it was an executive agreement that the president had entered into. And they said, no, not only can this not happen, but a treaty cannot override the United States Constitution. It violates every constitutional principle and protocol we have. And the verbiage of it is just, I'm going, oh my goodness, the Warren Court did something right. Anyway, so we have, you know, the Constitution itself, we have the words of the Founding Fathers, we have logic, reason, and intelligence, so we even have a Supreme Court decision that debunks the idea the United Nations or any, you know, a NATO treaty, which NATO really is a subset of the United Nations. If you read their 1949 treaty, they subserve themselves completely to the United Nations. It is a military regional
arrangement. In other words, it's the arm of war for the, quote, global unconstitutional body.
It is indeed.
It's the war arm, if you will.
It is one of the war arms. There are others. But all of these regional arrangements we enter to, and I mean, the Trump-touted United States-Canada-Mexico agreement, absolutely a United Nations regional arrangement. The European Union, anything that basically takes away international independence from each other, sovereignty. You know, Article 1, Section 8 says specifically that Congress is to regulate commerce with foreign nations. Well, no. With the USMCA, this Canadian-Mexican agreement that Trump touted as such a wonderful thing, no, it doesn't let Congress regulate commerce with foreign nations. In that instance, and in any of these international economic arrangements, it turns it over to an unelected body appointed by the executive branches of the independent nations who now regulate our commerce between Canada and Mexico, unconstitutionally.
All it does is continue on the dishonest idea that we can circumvent the three branches of the United States government, that we could jettison the authority the American people delegated, and that we could somehow by force or by edict or by charter or whatever other term you want to use, that we could deceive ourselves into betraying our sovereignty. That's what we're talking about here. Donald was just as on board as everybody else.
Well, he had his office, well, his executive branch through appointment. I'm not sure, but I'll bet you he had more CFR-type people, the Council on Foreign Relations people, in his administration than Obama had in his 8 years. I mean, we've got to straighten this out, people. It's just disaster.
The only way is to jettison that interest, but if we do, will it be instant war? All I can tell you is we got to stand for what's right. Liberty Roundtable Live continues with Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds. FreedomsRisingSun.com.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You- USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
An area of the country that has been particularly dry since the summer is likely to see some moisture this week. The same powerful storm bringing snow across much of the Rocky Mountains this past weekend is expected to emerge in the plains on Monday, bringing a whole new set of hazards to the southern United States. Texas and Oklahoma on Monday will get some much-needed rainfall to the region. Inflation, food, gas prices, state-regulated abortions, border chaos, European war, multiple countries threatening the United States with nuclear weapons. Those are some of the issues among the key drivers for this midterm election. It's report card time, and the Democrats have exclusive control of Washington for the last 2 years. If Republicans retake just one chamber, they can block President Biden's spending agenda for the remainder of his term and launch investigations into his administration and the Biden family's suspected criminal activities. Roughly 7,000 protesters denouncing Moldova's pro-Western leaders marched through ex-Soviet state's capital for the sixth consecutive Sunday and set up a new tent camp days after police cleared a similar encampment. Protesters decried steep price increases, particularly for gas bought from Russia, as they demand new leadership. Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, has been trying for years to play the DC Comics supervillain turned anti-hero, Black Adam, in a movie for years.
These powers are not a gift, but a curse. Born out of rage.
Black Adam had a $67 million opening weekend as of Sunday morning, making it the best domestic opening for any Dwayne Johnson leading movie. It is rated PG-13. We are USA Radio News.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care. And that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. It's because MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you could save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. If you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number you need. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
All right, back with you live. Dr. Bradley, Sam Bushman, talking about the 77th year. I would to some degree call it the reign of terror, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. I kid you not, because we have literally been violating the Constitution for 77 years, literally relegating our sovereignty to a foreign, hostile, unauthorized power. Unconstitutional criminal activity continues for 77 long years. Is the bottom line that I have on this thing. And you know what? We could go on about it forever. We wanted to highlight it because of the 77th year today, October 24th, is the day that it was kind of agreed to via charter. Now, that's kind of an interesting way they used the term charter as well, Dr. Bradley, because what the heck is a charter related to our supreme law? That's an important point to understand here, folks.
Well, you know, I often personally, I call our United States Constitution a charter. It is kind of the official legal status. It certainly is a constitution. Charter kind of maybe undermines or even discounts a little bit the denomination as a constitution. But we need to understand that the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land. I mean, it states specifically in that. All who ratified that, all who agreed to join the nation, hold it in such, all who take office, take an oath of allegiance to uphold it. It does take precedence. It's superior to, it's preeminent, it's paramount, if you want it. I mean, how, I don't know all the descriptors you want to use on it. but it's paramount to every other governance charter. Now, of course, we our allegiance runs through that to God, so don't get me misunderstood as someone that would put it before God before. And it literally is based upon God's word, and we can discuss that at great length if you wish. But the United Nations Charter was designed, I think, in many ways to sound similar to the United States Constitution, but it really is a full power, full-throated, a new world government that is where it's supposed to go ultimately and finally. Its initiators and its instigators were all globalists, and like I say, we had two chairs of the committee that put it together that were both communists. Alger Hiss, although called an American, was absolutely a communist-aligned individual. So it has a communist philosophy at its basis, and it really hasn't brought about this great hopeful peace. It hasn't brought about a better world. I have been to the United Nations. I have sat in their General Assembly. I have listened to the discussions and debates. It really is, I mean, I wouldn't want to pick out any particular family, but let's say a husband and wife have difficulty. To bring it to the neighborhood council is the wrong thing to do. The husband and the wife don't need to air all their differences in front of a whole council where people pick sides and throw spit wads or hand grenades, I don't know what, at each other. But that's just basically where it does. It's a bickering. I have been utterly shocked at what I have personally heard as I've sat in the United Nations and listened to the discussions that happen. It just really is it's a facade of everything they claim to be, and they've really made matters worse, and they're thinking they're going to have some real inroads to overthrow our Constitution. I mean, you look at what Biden's recently talked about. He's kind of resurrected the SPPA, the Security and Prosperity Partnership of Canada and Mexico, and the North American Union, the NAU, that we worked so hard to subvert during the Bush administration. But Biden is making noises like that again. You know, yeah, we ought to join together. We'll all be better off if we put Canada, Mexico, and the United States together. Oh, yeah, the drug cartels are running Mexico, for crying out loud. The Trudeau guy, the new little socialist that's been raised in the tradition of the Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum and his draconian efforts to undermine Canada, whether it's from firearms.
Well, isn't Canada really just a kind of a province of King George's continuation, if you will?
Well, I think it's worse. In a way, it's worse because
But the point is, it doesn't have its own sovereignty.
No.
And even if it did, we don't need to give up our sovereignty on the altar of people who don't understand our Christian values, our way of life, our belief systems, our fundamental understanding of that government is derived by good, honest, wise people. In other words, it's a necessary evil, and it derives its just power from the consent of the governed. These fundamental understandings of turning to God, not government, realizing that government's a necessary evil, understanding these limitations and chaining down these bureaucrats with the Constitution. See, none of these other countries understand that. Canada's tie to Britain won't allow it to really double down in favor of these principles or ideas at all. And the Mexican historical reality doesn't match that one iota.
No. In fact, Mexico traditionally had a revolution almost every year. And I know you could say, oh, no, it was every 2 years or whatever. But the fact of the matter is the cartels are very much in sway in Mexico, the drug cartels. It's a criminal endeavor. And in Canada, it's a criminal endeavor also. I mean, the way Trudeau ran his COVID response, for example, the way he's done his violation of the right to keep and bear arms, I mean, the guy is a putz. He's a twerp. And he's no more fit to govern than the Paris Commune was fit to govern after the Franco-Prussian War in Europe. These guys that currently hold power, I mean, you can look at, I mean, all over the world. What's happening? The Wicked Witch of the South Pacific and what she did in New Zealand. These people rule with an iron fist. And that is not what governance is in liberty. And you need to, we all need to understand that if we merged, as Biden has been nibbling around the edges lately, and as George W. Bush did before, and George H.W. Bush with his, you know, New World Order speeches and everything, people, we have this magnificent charter of liberty, if you will, this constitution, God-ordained, brought forth at great cost, based upon principles of individual God-given rights. And yeah, okay, we can talk about it. If Canada wanted to join the United States under the United States Constitution, we could talk about it. But it would take a real mindset change. Now, not so much from Western Canadians, I don't think.
Not only would it take a real mindset change, but it would take an absolute public declaration of independence from Britain.
Yes, it would literally
take a war to make happen, folks.
Well, wicked kings just don't go away, and in spite
That's
of the
correct.
Smiley faces, they usually have to be overthrown. But I don't know. You know what, Sam? When you came on the air and you said the 24th of October, I thought, 24th of October, that's the anniversary of the... I mean,
yes,
this
sir.
Was totally off the chart, but I think that it's a subject that probably will get very little exposure today in spite
it will,
of the
It will by
risk.
Us. Now, let me throw a couple of things into the mix that I think are relevant that relate to. I was on the radio with Chris Carlson on Saturday, and we talked about several things that I think are related to this, and I want to highlight them, and then I want to highlight a couple of vaccine headlines I just got that are actually good news. More and more people are standing up, which is good news. But we talked about this Tony Bobulinski's interview with Tucker Carlson, and it confirmed allegations made by FBI whistleblowers that, you know what, they suppressed the investigation into Hunter Biden's laptop as FBI officials worried that the Bureau would cost Joe Biden the 2020 election should the American people learn the truth about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. So the FBI literally tampered with the election, and Tony Bobulinski's interview highlights this fact. Also, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg also told podcast host Joe Rogan that FBI platform censored the news about the Hunter Biden laptop, falsely claiming it was disinformation when they knew full well that it was accurate and factual. Ladies and gentlemen, it looks like the FBI ran a coordinated operation to meddle in the 2020 election in favor of Joe Biden. Think about that reality check, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We also talked about Loretta Lynn, and she passed away. Country star. We normally don't eulogize celebrities, but we talked about Loretta Lynn. And you know what? While they were promoting sex, drugs, and rock and roll at the Music of Her Time, she was talking about wife, mother, hard work, her married life. Her priorities were her family. She married at age 15. She did all this cool stuff. Anyway, these artists in their day, Loretta Lynn and everything, talked about the importance of traditional marriage. They talked about hard work. They talked about a lot of good things, folks. They weren't perfect, but they did a pretty good job. For example, Loretta Lynn was interviewed in 2020. She said, "I'm still a Bible girl. I believe in traditional marriage." Anyway, I bring that all up because that's in contrast with what we're seeing today. But our elections are in jeopardy for 2022. And I'll tell you the latest scandal in a second on that. In seconds on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off, with America surrendering to terrorists. Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This is a battle. A a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. All I'm telling you is I bring up this Loretta Lynn as contrast to what we're seeing today. The United Nations literally out of control for 77-plus years and continuing so. We also talked about this Yuri Bezmenov, and he talked about the 4 stages of ideological subversion. It was in 1984 that he gave this incredible interview with G. Edward Griffin. This guy, this Yuri, was a former propagandist with the KGB, but he defected to the United States. He says as long as the United States artificially keeps propping up communism in the Soviet system, it will prosper. Anyway, he explains that his deception was all lies, and he defected. He said they know too much, and they wanted to literally gear up for war and kill people, and I couldn't stand it. I had to leave. He talks about the threat to the family as a control mechanism. He talks about alcohol and plying people with drugs as a control mechanism. He talked about this Look magazine, and he was involved with these journalists at Look magazine, the media being a control mechanism. Very, very interesting interview we covered. We played some sound bites about it. And he talks about revolutions are organized from above. There's no such thing as a grassroots revolution. The phony fall of the Soviet Union was critical. Then he talks about 4 stages of the ideological subversion. Only 15% of resources are devoted to spying, 85% to, I don't know what you want to call it, but basically criminal activity or these psychological operations, right? It's just shocking what you really learn when you study all this stuff, folks. You just go, wow. 85% dedicated to psychological operations, demoralization, destabilization, crisis, and normalization are the 4 stages that they go through. And it's interesting now they talk about the new normal. All right. He says we've got to have a national effort towards re-education, and we've got to stop aiding communism for the truth. Boy, is he right on that count. Anyway, that was a great interview that was last Saturday, 2 days ago, available at libertyroundtable.com. We played a couple of segments from the interview, and Chris Carlson and I talked about it in detail. But now, to highlight the election fraud, while a lot of these Republicans claim there's no election fraud, listen carefully. A Republican National Committee just sued Google over email spam filters, says the Associated Press. Why? Because they say, hey, they're subverting the Republican Party by blocking their emails and filtering out their emails. Google says, no, we're not. We don't do that. We don't filter based on beliefs or based on party. Google contends that its algorithms are designated to be neutral, but a study released in March by North Carolina University found that Gmail was far more likely to block messages from conservatives than others. They literally put from left-wing candidates, let's see how much, 10% of email from left-wing candidates into spam folders, while marking 77% from right-wing candidates as spam. Turns out Gmail rivals such as Google or Microsoft and Yahoo were more likely to be friendly or kind to conservatives than Google. This is what I mean. So this is what we're having gearing up for the 2022 midterms elections, folks. The Democrats are claiming no problem. The Republicans, some are saying there's no election fraud. But the truth is, when the Republican committee sues over this, and when we have this study that documents this, it's pretty evident that this is happening. The election's at stake is the point, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, you've talked about so many different subjects over the last few minutes that I'd love to go back to, but let's just talk about this one for a minute. Honestly, when something happens in politics, it was planned. That's an old adage. And, you know, there's another old adage, and it's very similar to this. Lies, lies, and more darned lies. And really, truthfully, the whole mess that we've got on our hands right now is very much putting at risk this republic. And you know, for years and years and years, you know, I've been in this freedom battle for many decades. And I've always told people that wanted to go to revolution, we can't right now. It's just not appropriate. We've got two things the Founding Fathers didn't have in 1776. We've got the Constitution, and we've got the vote. We had neither at that time. And my arguments on those are both getting a lot more thin. They really are. The vote is being stolen from us, and really literally in a Republican stronghold like the state of Utah, and even in my county, which is probably would be considered by many to be the most Republican county, if it isn't the most, it's really highly ranking in the state of Utah. We adopted the 2020 election formula a decade ago. We went to the machines. We went to mail-in ballots. In fact, even as we speak, we've got a disaster going on in our county because the ballots were mailed out without a full disclosure on some issues, and people have voted without understanding a lot of things. I mean, here we say, oh yeah, November 8th, that's the election. No. Weeks in advance of that, the ballots went out. Some people said, oh, I'm going to do my citizen's duty. The minute it lands on their desk, they tear it open and they send in their ballot. And things are exposed sometimes in the last weeks of an election. And in my county, then we cannot get the people that, quote-unquote, lead the county, which is an establishment, internal, you know, insiders kind of group, to do anything differently. But so, yeah, we're losing the vote. They've been stealing votes for decades. Lyndon Johnson, he won 1948 by hook and by crook. And you know where history went from that. I mean, holy Hannah. So, yeah, that's a big problem. The Constitution has been set aside. Our elections are being stolen. We have concerted efforts by institutions within the government, unconstitutional institutions like the FBI that are playing favorites. You look at the high-tech companies that many of them have gotten their start based upon some kind of input from taxpayer dollars or at least favorable legislation and so on, and they're participating in this. It's very disheartening, and we as a people have got to say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. Those people we elect, we've got to vet them carefully. You know, I'm old enough that I think about the sweet talk that leads to victory by many of the glad-handers that come in, and nothing changes. And we've got to do a better job. I can't tell you how many people have come to me, people I know very, very well, that are saying, how do we get rid of Mitt Romney, the senator in Utah? Well, you guys should have done your research. I mean, he was a chameleon that you could have told his color clear back in the early
1990s. Yes, that's all true, and I agree. But you know what? What they did was they circumvented the caucus system. The caucus rejected Mitt. And then they circumvented the caucus, and big money basically put him in power, ignorance of the people, manipulation of the media to create that ignorance in the people. That's what's going on here. So although I do hold Utahns responsible for this to some degree, I realized that, you know what, the system, if it wasn't circumvented and manipulated, would have stopped Mitt. The Utah people would have stopped Mitt. Now we need to realize they've played us for suckers, and they've literally destroyed a lot of the checks and balances that can, you know, preserve we the people. Anyway, enough on the elections. We'll keep talking about it as the broadcast unfolds. I want to really highlight these vaccine things, though. A funeral director from New Zealand, his name is Brenton Faithful, says that 95% of the corpses he has been seeing have received a COVID-19 vaccine within 2 weeks of their passing away. The Epic Times reporting this. From the very moment these injections went into arms, the death rate soared beyond belief. They labeled them all as COVID deaths, but the reality is they were almost exclusively people who were vaccinated. Yeah, John Looney told the Epic Times. Now, John Looney is working with Sanjay Verma and many other doctors. He's a cardiologist practicing in California who has basically been seeing a dramatic increase in heart problems since the rollout of the vaccines. He says this: we know the spike protein is toxic to the blood vessels, causing, I don't know how to say this, endothelial dysfunction. The spike protein is also toxic to heart muscles, causing mitochondrial injury. And there are also case reports of autopsies creating encephalitis, inflammation of the brain, myocarditis, I think is how you say it, and vasculitis, all of which can cause death. Anyway, they go on. This guy has been working, this faithful guy has been working as a funeral director for 41 years and has been running his own mortuary for the last 26 years. He's been observing this. And he says, it's obvious. People die within weeks of getting the vaccines. Oftentimes it's same day or day after. The body just cannot handle the injection. They die the same day or the following day. This is not a one-off case. This is the majority of cases that have come through my mortuary. And then Dr. Joseph Mercola speaks out, but I'll give you a chance to respond to this, and then I'll give you the good news at the end of the hour, doctor.
I hope you got some good news. Holy cow. No, I mean, we could talk at length why so many are dying in New Zealand with the Wicked Witch of the South Pacific running the country and what the draconian things were, but we could talk beyond that about what all of us, I mean, not all of us, but many of us that have been in a close association with this stuff have known from the very beginning over 31 months ago. But it's interesting. I mean, I'm going to take a little different spin on this because you've done a pretty good job showing how the morticians have seen a vast increase in their business, the death rates and everything else like that. But I've run into some things that are very interesting, and it's from an own personal perspective as well as some of the news reports that are happening. Because I got grandkids that are in the dating game, and the dating game has changed. There was a point in time when they said, oh, no, if you don't have a vaccine, I'll never give you a kiss or whatever. You know, this is the spin that's being put on the stuff by the establishment and their efforts to get everybody jabbed. Their institutional stuff safe and effective. Ha! Anybody that's done any examination of this at all know there's no justification for calling it safe or effective. There's no scientific evidence. There's been no test to that effect, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there's some interesting dynamics coming into the dating game where if people have been vaccinated, people are saying, I'm not going to date you. And it goes way beyond just a date or a kiss. It's intimacy. And these people may become the pariah, the ones that have been vaccinated. It's just astounding to me.
It's a sad tale to tell, but here's the good news at the end of the hour. Dr. Joseph Mercola is saying that a simple nasal wash reduces risk of COVID hospitalization. Listen, rinsing your nasal passages with a saline solution within 24 hours of a COVID-19 diagnosis could reduce your chances of being hospitalized by 8.5-fold. Why isn't your doctor telling you this? Why isn't the medical establishment telling you this? Well, we used to have on a guy from Clear, the CEO, talking about this. He's been sued by the FDA. Folks, they've gone about this criminally. We need to create accountability.